Avi Hasson is with us live via telephone. He is the CEO of Startup Nation Central. They've developed a report on the economic impact that the last year has had on Israel's tech ecosystem. And he is the expert to speak with when it comes to what's happening in the tech sector in Israel, especially during these very sensitive times. Avi Hasson, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
I appreciate that. You know, I read the review of the report, and if there's one thing we've learned, as we say, Bli Ayin Hara, if there's one thing that we've learned, is that Israel has tremendous resilience in many areas, as we know, to say the least, in every generation, as we now know, to say the least, but including in the business world and the tech sector. In fact, not to summarize it so quickly, but if I had to give a short analysis of what you guys have researched, aside from the need in some cases to relocate, Israel's tech sector, it seems, has been going on relatively smoothly for the last year. Am I being a little too, am I assuming a little too much when I say that?
No, I think you actually chose the best word to describe what we've seen or what the numbers tell us. And that's really the how much the sector has been resilient. Again, just to share with our listeners, if we look as one example on the amount of money, the number of dollars raised by Israeli startups in the past 12 months, about since October 7th, they're actually exactly the same amount to the 12 months preceding that that period. And of course, you know, it's like we should compare it to the Israeli tech is running in the Olympics finals every day. That's how you know how good we are. But we have a 200-pound weight on our shoulders. And running with that for a year and yet mirroring exactly the U.S. market performance is quite remarkable.
Well, I was just going to ask if it's still coming from the U.S. In other words, if you look at these 12 months and you look at the 12 months prior, as you just said, same investment amount, but coming from the same place, like there's nobody, or generally speaking, there hasn't been a general attitude from any specific place or any area of investment where people were like, you know what, this is not the time to invest in Israel. You know what, politically, I don't agree with Israel. Or you know what, it's too dangerous and sensitive a time to risk anything in Israel. Has any of that occurred?
Yeah, so definitely we know of cases where that have occurred. By the way, mostly not because of ideological reasons, but actually because of the uncertainty, you know.
Right.
Many companies or investors are saying, is this the right time to be investing in Israel with everything happening there? Maybe wait this one out and so on. But what we've seen, and again, it's reflected now by the data, is that in parallel to that, there was a good number of people, and I'll mention some names, some of the world's best investors, which said, well, actually, you know what? That's the time to be doubling down on Israel.
Right.
We've seen venture firms like Sequoia and Greylock reopening their offices in Israel after October 7th because, in their words, there are very few places in the world where you can find such a vibrant, healthy, and mature innovation ecosystem. And unlike 2021, where valuations were crazy, now actually you can find some interesting opportunities. So when you take both sides of the equation, we got to a place where the numbers are pretty much the same.
But I got to go back to the ideological piece for a second. Don't you find it interesting how, I don't know, let's take Hollywood, for example. People who seem to always be friends, all of a sudden now we have a list of people who want nothing to do with us. Politically speaking, certainly the same thing. Those who we thought were friends all of a sudden think of every reason to avoid Israel. Isn't it funny that when it comes to the investment world, it sounds like that list hasn't changed much?
Yeah, but that's because, you know, of the acute difference in the nature of the audiences and constituencies that you mentioned. Because, for example, if you would have talked about academia, we've definitely seen a lot of, you know, troubling, disturbing and phenomena with regards to the attitude to Israeli researchers and universities. But when it comes to the business community, and it's not just the investors, We see an equal trends with multinational companies. We've seen the best companies in the world, you know, NVIDIA, the darling of the markets being one of them, spent over $1 billion in the past few months acquiring two Israeli startups. And in total, there were over $12 billion of acquisition of Israeli companies since October 7th. So I think the private sector, the business community, and certainly the innovation-related one, acknowledges that you cannot overlook Israel. Right. You know, as it's critical for your business. It's critical for the growth. It's critical for solving the world's problems. And therefore, and by the way, and a lot of them are already very much, you know, embedded within this Israeli ecosystem,
right,
in terms of our local operations. So those counterparts and partners have not shifted from their policy and are still very much not just acting, but also in surveys that we've done, expressing their confidence in the capabilities and future of the Israeli tech sector.
Avi Chason with us, Startup Nation Central CEO. What about the balance of the last year? Was there less investment in the first 6 months or the first 3 months because it was such a tenuous situation and even investors wanted to sit back and see what would happen and most of the money came in the most recent 6 months, or was it evenly spread out over the last 12 months?
No, so that's quite an accurate description of what we saw. But again, it's mostly impacted by the trends in the U.S. and global market and not so very much because of our right. local affairs. So yeah, we've seen in the first few weeks, I would say, some hesitance, in the investors, but that recovered very, very quickly.
And any major companies around the world who have headquarters in northern Israel who relocated those headquarters to somewhere else in Israel?
So truthfully, you know, what one of the things that made high tech resilient is the fact that 98% of the sector is not located in the north and the south, but actually is in the greater Tel Aviv area or Jerusalem and other parts which were less impacted, right. you know, by the war directly. Certainly with what we've had to deal with, we don't know what the future holds for us. Right. But I will say what I wanted to say is that, again, unfortunately, there's a lot of experience of the sector in past conflicts, not just security-related conflicts, and we've had a bunch of those, unfortunately, but also COVID, where Israel actually gained a name for itself or for being resilient, for maintaining business continuity. So a lot of these companies have very positive experience from the local team in their ability to, you know, continue delivering no matter what, to maintaining that operation running, to putting their heads down, and even if part of the people are in Miluim, in active reserve duty, the rest of the team will cover for them.
By the way, the best relocation story we have, and you may have had something to do with this, I don't remember if it came through you or not, but we actually spoke with somebody, I believe in November, whose offices were in, you know, some major city in Israel, but he was in Miluim and basically not only ran his company from his phone in Miluim in Army Reserves, but I believe he actually exited. I believe he actually sold the company as he was doing all of this. So I think that would win the relocation story.
We have dozens of such stories. We've helped serve those companies. Absolutely. I have Zoom snapshots of entrepreneurs, CEOs in uniform talking to my team, which are doing exactly that, which are matchmaking them to customers or investors and so on. And you know, that I think that's part of the spirit and the commitment. And it doesn't go unappreciated.
So there's no excuse. There's no excuse for anybody listening right now who says that they're not able to overcome obstacles in business. There's no excuse. Everybody in Israel has been incredible at the way they've adjusted to this situation.
I think, you know, we're committed to, you know, to not just surviving, but actually thriving.
Yep.
And I think there's an acknowledgement of that. And I think there are enough, you know, people with good business sense that understand the opportunities here. Again, I don't want to underplay the impact of the war.
Right.
You know, October 7th and everything that happened later carried
today.
A toll on all of us.
And what's happening today? I mean,
it's still happening today. And as we speak, you know, I'm talking to CEOs of companies, both local companies as well as multinational companies, which are making whatever is needed to carry on. You know, just anecdotally, very quickly, in the first week of the war, And many times, based on their experience on what happened in the Ukraine, I received a lot of calls of people saying, do we need to extract people out of Israel, right, because of the war? And what happened in reality is that 300,000 Israelis were looking for a plane to come into Israel, you know, and either serve here or be part of their company.
Right.
And I think that really shows you that unique spirit that at the end of the day, combined with the innovation culture, is probably our biggest secret sauce.
And I'm assuming that you're predicting a robust upcoming year as well.
Yeah, so again, if I want to continue the metaphor of the 200-pound lift, it's not easy to run a marathon with that.
Right.
So I do think, you know, and obviously not just from a business perspective, that as soon as, you know, we're managed to bring the hostages back and de-escalate war both in the north and the south, the better it is for the country, for the economy, and for the sector. Unfortunately, not everything is dependent on us. But obviously, you know, as soon as that is as that will be removed, I'm certain that we will see a baby boom, a startup boom, I mean.
Right.
I'm certain that we will see a lot of opportunities being created. I'm certain, by the way, that we will go back to the relationship we cultivated with, you know, partners from the Gulf, the Abraham Accord countries, but also new countries that will join that circle. There will be a day after, and I think this is the day we're all working hard to get into in the best shape possible.
Not to belabor the point, but I'm just curious on the relocation. Is there a good example of a, I don't know, 1,000 or 2,000 employee company that really did have to leave the northern region at some point and completely relocate to another area? Is there an example of that?
No, so as I said, right, there are startups who were located in the north or the envelope area.
Right, but any major companies?
Not major companies, but mostly because there are no major companies there.
Well, it's sometimes,
there were great companies, by the way.
But sometimes you hear in the north about, you know, companies that, you know, well-known names in Israel that, you know, employ hundreds of people at a time. I mean, it does exist.
Hmm. Intel has 12,000 people in Israel, NVIDIA has 4,000, and there are Israeli companies who have 10,000 employees as well. They're just, again, largely located,
right,
you know, not in the north and the south. And Tel Aviv, is from where I speak right now, is not a war zone. Again, by the way, thanks to great technology and innovation coming out of Israel.
Isn't that the case? Boy, oh boy, God has given man the ability to build some incredible things, including items that that maintain the security of our brothers and sisters in Israel. It's pretty remarkable. So hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, there will be continued robust investment in Israel. Does the sector in general have a good relationship with the government? Do they feel they have the support, the backing, the encouragement of the government to continue with a robust tech sector?
So that's a very good question, and honestly, and it also shows in the survey, there's some lack of confidence from the private sector in the government's ability to support and help it continue. And I think, honestly, and this is not a political statement, by the way, I think, you know, the government needs to understand the importance of the sector, and also just in general have a responsible fiscal policy, which is important to add certainty to the global investors and help them out. The Israel Innovation Authority specifically, which is part of the government, has been doing a lot of important policies and programs, you know, both in terms of emergency funding as well as in planning for the growth.
Right.
But in general, I would truthfully say, you know, since we're speaking in Mishpacha, that things could look better on that front. If, again, we want to make sure that we continue this leadership position in the years to come.
Well said. Really appreciate your insight. Avi Chason is the CEO of Startup Nation Central, and we're looking back on Baruch Hashem, a good year from that perspective of the tech sector, and Bezrat Hashem 5785 will be at least as good a year. Toda rabba lacha, shana tova, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Shana tova, and thank you again for your ongoing friendships, you know, the communities, all our friends and brothers, This is truthfully important and helpful.
Appreciate that very, very much. We always wonder if we're contributing anything, and it's good to hear we are. Tadaraba. JM in the AM on a Tuesday morning broadcast.